This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
By Apostle Grace Lubeck. And let me say this again, I keep saying this, that I believe he has demonstrated it here. What struck me deeply about his ministry is the depth, not just the depth, you know, people can be deep, but the depth in terms of the practice, all right, of the Word of God. In fact, what he said, if I remember clearly, that struck me very deeply, he said, it is impossible for somebody to stay in the, impossible for a person to stay in the Word of God and remain in the Word of God on a subject matter, and the matter will not be resolved. All right, and the way he taught it, I knew that this is a person who operates with the Word of God. Now, he has asked me, and I've granted him. He says he wants tonight to be a miracle night. All right. For the complete healing of the sick and restoration. Okay? So, if you have people you know that are ill, they can't come again. They can't come again. Okay? But you can send them on your WhatsApp now, that they should watch via YouTube and link up to have the power of God administered to them. A friend of mine in Kenya, who is a very good friend of his, and who really told me about him when I inquired. And you will see it in the video I'm going to play. Told me that in the, this were his words. He said, in the history of Uganda, we have never seen what is going on in his ministry right now. Whether it's rain or whether sunshine. He said, stadiums, all right, are packed out. And so, immediately after this video, please, the next person that will come up will be Apostle Grace Lubega. You can play the video.
Benero Ministries International, a dynamic, life-transforming, and generational impacting ministry with the vision to transform nations and the entire world with the Word of God.
God is going to change the face of the gospel in this nation. I believe revival has begun, and those that are ready to catch it. And I believe that there are some people here who are placing a demand on God bigger than money can buy.
The lame have walked, the blind have seen, the deaf have heard under this oil. Go anywhere. We have stepped. Whether you go to Northern Ireland, there are deaf ears hearing me now. Whether you go to Mbarara, you're going to find tumors that are left men's bodies. You'll find crippled men with their clutches on the wall. Go in certain places, you'll find coffins, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. As the word of God goes out, the anointing of God increases. As the word of God comes out of your spirit, the demonstration of power also comes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out this Sunday evening. Of course, I greatly honor all the men and women of God in the house, all of you. Pastor Pojo and your beloved wife, we thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to be able to stand before your congregation, for entrusting us with such a great responsibility, to which we don't take lightly, to be here. I know the seasons and times that we are in, and more than ever before, a lot is happening in human history, and I feel that many things are turning or the prophetic cloak has moved once more to a certain point in time where everything spells the next move of God on earth. The men and women of God who have been on this pulpit have been sharing the same. We carry the same conviction. Yesterday, Apostle Selman said the same. We carry the same thing that we hear. We feel that certain things are breaking and brewing, aligning and, you know, getting planted for the next move of God on us. So we are so blessed to be a part of what God is doing. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to begin from the last statement that Pastor Pojo mentioned, because that's really the foundation of my teaching today. And I'm going to speak so fast, so bear with me. I will not have time to water so much of what I'm going to plant tonight because of the time that is given me and the mandate that I have in this conference. But I believe Pastor Pojo and the rest of the team, even while I'm gone, many things will be watered to bring understanding to the things that I'm going to share tonight. But there's a sentence he said while he was closing, that you cannot be used in what you have not been tested. You remember that? And that's where I'm going to lay my emphasis on today. And I want to teach a sermon entitled, The Consecrations of God. The Consecrations of God. We are used by God according to the level to which individually we have been consecrated by God. And it's a fact that not many people appreciate or understand these consecrations. And I've seen that sometimes we get so lost in language that sometimes we confuse the consequences of the consecrations as the very consecrations. And sometimes we forget that the stages of consecrations are not necessarily the phases in the consecrations. We grow in stages. We learn in phases. For example, when you went to your school, primary school, you had, say, class one, which was a stage, isn't it? And in that class, you had phases. Those phases were school terms. I don't know how many terms you have here in Nigeria. Back in my home, in primary school, we had three terms. You have the same? So those were phases in the stage of term one, you see. And I've seen people who have advanced in phases, but within the same stage. And I've seen people who have been introduced into certain stages, but in the lower phases. So there are people here who are in the same class of stage, or stage, if I may say, but they are in different phases of life. There are people who are at the end of that loop or cycle because the prophetic is circular. And that spiral either can go upward or downward, but it's always circular. That which was, is, shall be. That which was, is, shall be. There's nothing new under the sun, okay? But it can go like that or like this. You see, you remember the man at the well, Pool of Bethesda? The Bible tells us for 38 years, this man was around this well. And every time an angel used to come every year. Why? Because it was a prophetic cycle. Sort of distinctive season that marked a time when healing was availed. But it says, but every time I wanted to jump in, another man went in before me. Why? Because he lacked the discernment to know when to go in. Now the ultimate redeemer of season and time appears to this man and tells him, do you want to get well now? Because I'm the only one who can shorten those cycles. Do you want to be healed? And the man says, yes. And Jesus healed that man. And that's the essence of revelation. Because revelation, if you study the original Greek, revelation is defined as God's redemptive power. It's not God's exciting words. It's not the things that tickle your fancy and excite you because they look so beautiful, or to hear them excites you. But it's the things that are designed by God to redeem you as you hear them. And one of the most ultimate redemptions that is known in scripture is the redemption of the time. The Bible says redeem the time, for the days are what? Evil. But he did not say redeem time. The time. There's a difference between chronology and kairos. Chronos is your earthly time. Kairos is godly time. In the redemption of the time, he's saying get time according to the dimension God has defined it from the Kairos realm, and then bring it on the earthly, and you'll realize that you're going to redeem many things. For one day in the house of the Lord is like 1,000 years. Some say days, one verse, in another portion of scripture, it also speaks of 1,000 years. So in other words, what you are able to do in one day by God can redeem 1,000 years in the chronological order and timings of men. That is the power by which we are quickened to do so much in such a short time. Who has understood it? And I pray by God that you may understand what I'm preaching tonight. So all of us, like all ministers say, no man is used by accident. There are no coincidences in the spirit. God does not pour oil on indifferent tests. Everything is ordained and aligned by God in a very definitive pattern. And no man wakes up and they're just there making it in life. There's some sort of process. And that process is consecrations. Primary salvation. That's our primal consecration. And then we get to the next level of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then in there we have the phases of death. At every level, God will kill you. And then in there, the sacrifice, the understanding of sacrifice comes, and you understand what it means as a dead man to sacrifice, because you cannot sacrifice before a certain death. And without that sacrifice or that sacrificial spirit, then you cannot understand the spirit of servanthood, because this servant is not enslaved. He is a bond servant. Paul always writes the scriptures at the beginning. He says, I am Paul, a bond servant of God, or Jesus, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, I'm a servant. He says, I'm a bond servant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a bond servant? He's a servant by choice, not by force. But until you learn to be that servant, then it's an error for you to be introduced to the consecrations of the prophetic before you understand that servanthood. Otherwise, then your spirit will not be subject to you as a prophet. You'll confuse the submission of the spirit to the prophet as the submission of the spirit of prophecy to the prophet. Okay, let me explain it. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, but the spirit of prophecy is not subject to the prophet, because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That one is not subject to you, prophet. That one is above you. Who understands what I'm saying? But if you have not been churned into the maturations of the servanthood I'm speaking about, the deaths with which you have to die, the understanding of the sacrifices that have to take place in life are in these consecrations. Okay? You might submit what you are supposed to, you might cause or seek to submit to you what you are supposed to submit to. And in the expressions of those liberties, the maturation of balancing what is subject to you and what you're supposed to be subject to is wanting. And that is the mother of all idolatry, because it's in the heart. It's not without. If you've understood it, say amen. And so, but again, without understanding that prophetic, it's dangerous to be consecrated in the kingly. Because you first understand the prophetic, or should first understand the prophetic unctions and the wisdoms of the prophetic before you understand the kingly graces. Are you following what I'm saying? And without understanding the prophetic and the kingly, you are incomplete if you try to function in the priestly graces. Because the priest first should understand the king and the prophet, the servant and the sacrifices, the deaths and the baptisms. You see what I'm saying? You see that order. Now, you have a generation where a person is consecrated in the kingly, but they've not understood yet to be a servant. And now that's dangerous. God raises a man after his own heart. Who? David. And if you remember the time when David is about to die, Adonijah and the sons of the king go together with the daughters to, you know, declare Adonijah as king, even before David dies. The scripture tells us, the prophet comes to David and tells him, Adonijah and all your sons have gone because they're going to celebrate Adonijah. Yet your servant Solomon has stayed behind. He didn't say your son. Because the wisdom and the man who should take after the man who was God's choice, the very man after God's own heart, he would not seek to raise another king which has not known yet to be a servant. When Bathsheba, the daughter of Uz, comes back to the king after the prophet has gone out, she says the same thing. She says, look, your sons are there celebrating and they're going to, crown Adonijah as king, but your servant Solomon has stayed back. When Bathsheba was raising a king, she raised the servant first. But me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, he has not called. Nothing in that lineage would become king first before it understood to be a slave. Now, here is our error. We teach a man to be a king before they understood what it means to be a slave. You teach a man to be a priest before they understand to die. You teach a man to be a king before they understand the power of sacrifice. You teach a man to be wealthy before they understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they are building what cannot be led because they are not instructed. Somebody shout hallelujah. So now this is the challenge of our generation. We have a group of people who are gifted. Many people in the world are gifted, but they're not assigned. They're gifted, but they're not assigned. And because the assignment defines many things in what you become, because divine purpose is attached to assignments, the giftings follow the assignment. The giftings and callings of God are without repentance, but assignments are taken. Moses was assigned to take the children of Israel into the promised land. But he messed it up. And God tells him, because you did not consecrate me before these people, and you smite a rock that you're supposed to speak to, you shall not make it into the promised land. Gifted as he is, anointed as he is, the rock can still hear him, even in rebellion. But the assignment has been cut. And another man has taken responsibility. But if you go back, the problem was the preparation. Certain things came before others. When he gets the revelation of Jesus Christ, he refuses to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. He esteems Christ's greater riches than the glories and pleasures of what? Of Egypt. For he had, the Bible says, respect unto recompense. The Bible tells us. But instead, now he needs to prepare. He has a process to go through. But he cannot get into that process very quickly. What happens? He sees a man disturb a Jew, and then he buries him in the sand. He has frustrated the order. What does God do? He throws him into the wilderness. 40 years he never spoke to him. 40 years. And after 40 years he appears to him. And this is a man who is needed to redeem the children of Israel, but he's not ready. A ready man cannot ask if they ask me why he used to stammer, right? Who sent me? If he knew God and walked with him long enough, he would know who sent him. But he didn't know. What sign? That means this is a man for 40 years who had never seen the sign of God. Are you following what I'm saying? And there are things God can excuse. He could give him the sign. He could give him the instruction. But because the tongue has not been tamed and the language has not been defined, he says, I have put your words in error. Because you're not ready to speak. You can carry the mandate, but you're not ready to speak. You can carry the assignment, but you're not ready to speak. There's a certain wisdom that is required of you to know how to speak. But Moses, you are not yet ready. I mean, this is a God who could simply lay hands on that man and he would speak the next day. But it was not just enough for Moses to be able to speak. It was important how he spoke. The Bible says that even things without life, except they give a distinction in sound. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14 verses 7, whether pipe
Ohap, except they give a distinction in sounds. Sounds of many waters. Listen. How shall it be known? Listen to the grammar here. He didn't say, which is the pipe? He said, what is piped? Because to God, he is not looking for the difference between the apostle and the prophet. He's looking for the distinctive mark that separates the prophet's voice from the noises. That's the God you serve. He's not trying to divide us in our differences of administrations and operations because it's the same spirit. God is not interested in how many apostles are here, but he's interested in what voice comes out of one apostle, one prophet, one teacher, one worshiper. That is the distinctive mark. How will you know? For they are, it may be many voices, but there's none without signification. But if I know not the meaning of the voice, he that speaketh to me is barbarian. And if he that I speak to, I am barbarian. Why? Because it's not in what is voiced, it's in what it means. That's the sound. That's the sound. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the sound. So Moses enters, but he's not ready. He had an anger issue that was never dealt with. Are you following what I'm saying? But now he has been ordained to redeem Israel. And before you know it, that same old demon comes out when he's just about to go. And it strikes him in the time when he least expects it, with all that anointing. Yet he was the most humble man on the earth. The Bible says there's none humble like Moses. But even in his humility, you would confuse his temperament with his attitude in the spirit. That was a different thing. He was a man who was dealing with so much anger, and that was not dealt with. And today we see the same thing. We see men who have not yet been dealt with. But the qualifications are coming quickly, because they can get anything they need on the social media. They can go on YouTube and tune into anything. But nobody has paid the price to systemize it and give it a certain order to help them understand and reconcile all things in one. Oh, they say our God is a God of order, but they don't even understand that order. They don't understand that pattern. There was a guy called Origen. In Christian history, this is the guy who tried to build what you call systematic theology. He tried to get theology to put it in some sort of system and pattern for people to understand. That man was killed immediately, because there is nothing Satan hates like defining a pattern, like designing an order to help somebody understand that when you come from this stage, you go to this stage. When you go to this stage, you go through this phase. And now you have people who have so much, but it's indifferently placed in the spirit that it carries convictions of whose results it cannot manifest. Oh yeah, he can heal the sick. But he cannot raise a ministry. He can prophesy a phone number and a name, but he cannot interpret Romans chapter 2. The conflict. So you ask yourself, you think it's more important for God to show you the date of birth of an individual and not help you understand the mystery of Christ? Yet it is given to you to know the mystery of Christ. Whether you pray or fast, that is given to you. Your life of prayer and fasting is simply trying to dig out what is already available for you by God. Now the conflict comes. How could this guy know my phone number? How could he know my date of birth? But when he starts teaching, he cannot connect Malachi to Matthew. Oh no, he's a prophet. No. That's not true. Read Greek. The Greek says, and he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some pastors, he gave some evangelists. Huh? Now where you read the English word and teachers, you go read the Greek. You realize the word there, that last word and teachers is not and teachers like the ands you see. In fact, in the Greek it reads, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, which be teachers. The prophetic anointing that was chosen by God to anoint and separate Paul and Barnabas for the work of ministry were not just prophets. They were prophet teachers. That's what the Bible says. He says in Antioch there were prophets, Simon, Manaiah, Lucius, and many others of them. The Bible says, and as they prayed and fasted, read the message version. Read the message version. Can you get it for me? Is it there or it's not? Read. One day as they were worshiping God, no, let's begin from verses 1. Oh, the congregation in Antioch was blessed with a number of prophet, preachers, and teachers. They were not prophets. They were prophet, teachers, and preachers. They beheld the doctrine of Christ, like it says in Timothy, with a pure conscience. Now, how do I consecrate this prophetic man without helping him understand that you must understand the foundations of the gospel? Don't move with a gift. Oh no, you're jealous. No, I'm an apostle. We can never do anything against the truth. And some, because we're apostolic, we're even more dangerous. Because I prophesy, I heal the sick, I do everything. You understand? But I'm trying to help this guy understand, no, there are other foundational things that you need. And now the Bible calls that the iniquity of Ephraim. It's called the iniquity of Ephraim. Hosea chapter 7 verse 8, he says, Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. That means he has reconciled more in carnality than consecrating himself with God. He's mixing with people instead of the solitude he needs to hear God. And the Bible tells us he is a cake not turned. That means he was burnt on one side, but the other side was never burnt. And he's ministering with the burnt side. He's worshiping with the burnt side. He's praising with the burnt side. He's leading ministry with the burnt side. He's ushering with the burnt side. He's leading security with the burnt side. He's serving everywhere with the burnt side. He is going place to place and he gets on a flight with the burnt side. You don't understand what I'm saying? He's on television with the burnt side. He's driving an expensive car with the burnt side. He graduates in theology, gets a degree. He gets a diploma. He gets a PhD, but he's burnt one side. And you know the danger of being burnt one side, they're not balanced. Because God hates and just waits. Now we speak about the double-edgedness. Why there are two covenants, New Testament and Old. Why it's Cain and Abel. Why it's Ephraim and Manasseh. Why it's Isaac and Jacob. Why it's Jesus, the second Adam and the first Adam. Because one cancels out the other. And the reconciliation of these things is what we call a balanced spirit. But Ephraim is burnt on one side. He only understands the Old Testament. He can't get the new. Or he only understands the new, but he cannot reconcile the new with the old. Yet the Bible says a man which is instructed in the kingdom is likened to one whom out of his spirit flow both new and old. Because God has dealt with him. Hosea 13 verses 12, he calls it the iniquity of Ephraim. He says he's bound up in his sin. Because he's indifferent and he has not been dealt with by God, the Bible says the sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of breaking forth of children. He should not delay to build ministry. He should not delay to heal. He should not delay to transform. He should not delay to evolve. He should not delay to change. He should not delay. But there's something on him. What should take him 2 weeks and 2 years and 2 months is taking him 20 years, 30 years, 40 decades. While in the same world Ephraim is living, some people are doing in 2 days what he is doing in 20 years. Look at fear with the children of Israel. The Bible says when God wanted to take them to the promised land, he did not lead them. God did not lead them through the way of the Philistines, seeing that they would see the Philistines and fear. And in the fear of war, the Bible says they would return back to Egypt. What did they do? God took them 40 years. Yet by record and theology, it needed only 14 days from the crossing of that river into the promised land. So it took Israel 40 years. What they could have done in 14 days. If somebody had taught them not to fear. Believe me, some of you are not delayed because you have a generational curse. Some of you are not delayed because you're just waiting on the Lord. Some of you are delayed because you have not been consecrated in some spaces of your life. You're a leaking vessel. The brook is drying so early. You're living on borrowed phrases. You're borrowing men's oils and because they are burning incense in the Holy of Holies and it's coming out to find you in the holy place. Because you're smelling it, you're in the delusion that you're the one burning the oil. But without their cloud, you cannot shine. Your star is dimming every other day. And you just live in the falsehood of, I'm a minister, I'm a believer, I'm born again.
But every time you're weighed, and the Bible speaks of how a man has been weighed and he has been found wanting. How does God weigh us? How does God weigh us? Are you with me? Are you with me? How does God weigh us? How does God weigh us? That is why in Jeremiah 17:10 has one of the most profound portions of scriptures I have ever read in my life. And you know what? Many people in this room would say, I know that portion of scripture. But you have its understanding. Oh, no. I've studied that thing. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay. It's Revelation chapter. Yeah, okay. I know it. Okay. So if you say you know about healing, can you heal a sick man? No. But you say you know. Okay. Can you grow something? No, but I understand. Okay. So if you went to prophetic school, you must come back a prophet. If you carry the office. But you have people who say, I went to prophetic school and they can't see. You have people who go to theology school and they have theologies of whose theophanies they don't carry. They carry the knowledge of whose experiences they don't have. Simply put. So it's one thing to say, I know, but it's another for you to demonstrate. If you say you know that God delivers, then you should be able to walk in deliverance. Stop assuming to know what you cannot manifest. It doesn't matter how much you have crammed it and how many portions of scripture you have here. If it is not yet an experience, if it's just your mind agreeing, but your spirit has not yet churned that experience into understanding, believe me, you don't know it. Like one man said, some know the psalm, others know the shepherd. Are you following what I'm saying? Some know the psalm, others know the shepherd. After 70 years after the ascension of Jesus, the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. And 10 emperors from Nero to Diocletian persecuted the church. The church went into the catacombs and went underground. And then years later we see Constantine come. He's trying to do things, but he has failed. It's only split the Catholic Church from Roman Catholic into the Orthodox movement in Constantinople. 590, the birth of the papacy. And then the church and the state marry politically in a way that you could not understand. And then the church becomes so wealthy and powerful in political influence. And a story spoken one day, two priests were walking together in the temple. And they said, my friend, one of them tells his friend, my friend, we cannot say, like Peter said, that silver and gold have I not, for God has prospered us. And then his other friend told him, neither can we say, get up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk. And therein is a lesson, philosophically, that one man had excelled in what anybody in the world can have, and they had lost things money cannot buy. Be careful when you start to attain glories that cannot be defined by the vindication of the Spirit. Because the mystery of godliness carries the vindication of the Spirit. Great is the mystery of godliness. He says Jesus came in the flesh. He was seen by the angels. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He ascended in glory. Meaning that every justifying mark of every child of God in this room, or anybody listening me across, there must be something that justifies you, that you are a child of God, without introducing yourself, without your worldly credentials, without fighting for your front seat, without trying to send advertisements as if you're selling a good. If God anoints a man, one man said, even if they hide them in the deepest forest there is, somebody will dig a rod to find them. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord look to and fro. God is looking for more men than certain men are looking for him. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Jeremiah 17:10. Very, very, very deep. He says that I, the Lord, search the heart
And I try the reins to give to every man according to the ways of his heart and to the fruit of his doing. Do you know what that means? You are as far as your heart by divine test has been consecrated. You are as rich as far as you have been tested and consecrated by God. He does not give you beyond your heart. You blame your auntie, blame your cousin sister, blame your stepmother who left you. I mean that other neighbor who lives next to you, does witchcraft every day. She's smoking things and they're flying over the house. But he's saying, I am testing your heart every day and I'll try every rein of you to give you according to your heart. If you're sick, check your heart. If you're struggling financially, check your heart. Pastors, if your church has failed to grow, don't say, oh no, it's a geographical, you know, it's geography. You know, where we are, there are no parkings. You know, Jesus didn't have cars. Jesus didn't have cars. He did not have a public address system. But this man would walk with more than 5,000 people and they're not even conscious what they'll eat. Are you following what I'm saying? It's your heart. There are people who are not ready for greatness. And that's the truth. Yes, you have the theology, but you're not ready because there's more hidden stuff that we have not dealt with because you never understood the order that consecrates you. I'm talking about the circumcision of the heart. For he says in the New Testament, neither circumcision or uncircumcision availeth much, but the new creature. And when he's talking about the new creature, he's not talking about the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart. That's consecration. And what is a perfect heart? Faith, hope, love. And the greatest of all of these is agape. Not eros, not phileo, not brotherly love or friendship or passion. I'm talking about the love of God being shed abroad in your spirit. Oh no, but these are simple things. I love my brethren. Okay. I have faith. What do you mean you have faith? I have hope. What do you mean you have hope? So if you have faith, hope and love, why isn't it working in your life? Oh no, no, no. Mental assent. Your mind agrees with things and it confuses you with the authority only the spirit can define because of understanding. When you receive the knowledge of a thing, you forgot that it's the last one to be received. Wisdom had to precede that knowledge. With wisdom, a house is built. With understanding, a house is established. And with knowledge, the fullness of its riches are given. But some of you are pursuing knowledge without its understanding and without the wisdom. This is how God has designed you to be. You receive wisdom first. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. When wisdom comes to you, then understanding comes. When understanding comes, then knowledge can be deciphered truly. But I've seen people who are playing in the corridors of knowledge. Gnosis is exciting them without understanding the wisdom of God. And that is why it's very important that if somebody is born again, we help them understand the wisdoms of God. To understand his ways. Proverbs says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. See how I walk. It's prudent in the spirit to understand how I walk. It's prudent. It's prudent. You can think God is going to come through that window and then he comes through that door. But the man which understands where God is coming is the man which positions himself first. And some people are later than others. The winds are blowing us to the north and a man is facing the south. So like the locusts, if the wind comes, because we're only carried by those winds. Okay? He that is born of the spirit is carried by winds, right? But you see, the challenge was you are in the winds. You're in the winds. It's true. But when they carried you, you were forcing backward. But there was a man who knew that the wind was coming from that direction. And then he looked forward. So he not only is flying in the tide that you're in, but he seems to know and see, yet you don't see. You feel you're going somewhere, but you don't know where. When the blind lead the blind, they fall in a ditch. And then the unnecessary errors that come with somebody who God has not dealt with, yet very gifted. And then people are discouraged. Oh, but she's gifted. Oh, but he's gifted. Because our consecrations are not in the realm of gifts. Gifts simply follow. And these signs shall follow them that believe. But now you're talking of a generation that justifies a man by the anointing of the gifting, not the wisdom on his life. He just needs to open a blind eye and you say, oh, this guy is anointed. It's more than that. It's more than that. Oh, no, no, no. If you can't do this, then you die. No, 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 no. There, to God, there are things that are more important than others. Because in heaven, they're not going to be lame people. And yet there are things we're doing right now that have a bearing on where we're going to be positioned in heaven. Wow. Somebody say, ouch. But it's testing. And then in that same spirit is saying, I'm actually desperate. I'm actually desperate. I am looking to and fro, like Chronicles says, seeking to show myself strong on behalf of the man whose heart is perfect. Because when you give me your heart, if I can test your heart and we've dealt with the other things, then you will have the vision as you ought to have it. What do you mean, Apostle? Some people have visions of God, but not as they ought to have them. Are you following what I'm saying? You can have an experience of God, but not as you ought. Not because God is a liar, but because he can only reveal as far as you're able to receive. He gets to Moses and tells him, look at the presence. Look at how I have ordained and ordered the presence to be on the earth. Moses says, I've seen it. He says, go and design that temple exactly the way I have showed you. And Moses designs that temple. And after designing that temple, God puts his presence on that temple. And everybody's sure that if God is to appear, he appears through a temple. Holy place, holy of holies, outer court. And God honored where Moses saw. Years evolve. Paul goes in the same place. And he finds God does not dwell in temples built by human hands. Now the disciples of Paul start fighting the disciples of Moses because the disciple of Moses will say, but my master's face shined. Did Paul's face shine? No, he didn't. But they all had one common thing. And thank God for it. They all had a time of consecration in the wilderness. How everyone used it is different. When Paul went into the wilderness after his experience in Damascus, the Bible says he went to Arabia. When he came from Arabia, back in Damascus for 3 years, the message had changed. He went to Jerusalem to communicate what the Lord had showed him. And something had changed truly in his life because that consecration came with something. You see Jesus in the wilderness, same thing. Like Paul went into the wilderness of Arabia. You see Abraham with Jethro in the wilderness being separated. You see God is dealing with all of them differently. Sorry, when he tells Abraham, leave your family. Canaan was a separation, sorry. It was a separation. It was a separation. I meant Canaan. So, God could take you actually into a wilderness and you start praying yourself out. And what is the wilderness? If you study the Hebrew, it's where God disconnects you from the aid of men. And whether you want it at one particular point, one time, you will wake up and you cannot entrust yourself to any man. For God eventually will show you what's inside them. Even that which used to help you stops helping you. The one that used to answer your phone call refuses to answer it. The one who used to laugh with you stops to laugh with you because now you're looking strange. The one who used to get entertained because you sat around people, you start looking for solitude. And the only way to carry sanity is when you are alone. But the problem with you is if you have not yet known how God deals when you are alone, you realize you waste yourself most. Instead of going through your consecrations. Are you following what I'm saying? Instead of going through your consecrations. So you see Moses in those 40 years, he's only looking after Jethro's. Was it Jethro? Was it his father-in-law? Jethro's sheep. But we don't see the instruction. That's why I said when God appears to him, you don't see anything. Yet Abraham in Canaan, he had God. Jesus in his consecration in the wilderness, after the 40 days, he comes back in the power and of the Holy Spirit. When Paul is in Arabia, he comes back with a message of grace. But there are certain people, even in that wilderness, they come back with nothing. They come back with nothing. That's why if God is going to use you mightily, there's going to come a time where he's going to plug certain people out of your life. Not because they're bad people. They're just not part of your narrative. Even if they accuse you of anything, God will not even try to vindicate you before them because they don't matter in your narrative. Some of you think that everybody should know the truth. You and I are the only people who really understood what happened in Joseph's room with Potiphar's wife. But the people in Joseph's day, many of them died thinking that that boy messed up with Potiphar's wife. Because it did not matter to God whether they knew the truth or they did not. It mattered that the ministry of Joseph was going to be more distinctively understood in 2022 than it was in his time. And if God designs that, they don't need to know, because it doesn't matter whether they know you right or wrong. He's not going to waste his energy and time trying to vindicate you before people who are already made up to misunderstand you and neither carry a bearing on your destiny. You don't know Potiphar's wife, but you know Joseph. You understood it. So some of you think everybody's going to vindicate you. No! And a man can wake up one day with a story on you and you can read it in the newspaper and be shocked. And God just simply tells you, this one, the separation had to take place this way. But I am still with you. I've not left you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout glory to God. Paul says no. God does not dwell in temples built by human hands. Why? Because when he went to the wilderness, he saw more than Moses saw. John the Revelator goes to the same place Paul was and Moses was before. He says in Revelations, I saw no temple. Now imagine the disciple of John the Revelator meets Moses' disciple. There's already war because this is the same God. But we've seen differently. And I'm saying, he only shows you where you are able. And he can relate with you, even honor you with presence from where you are able. And that's okay. So God can actually ordain an anointing on Moses' revelation. That's how amazing he is. And indifferently, some people, or as gullible as they can be, they can define a doctrine and build a monument around that and forget that God is not there. That is why if you knew him in the burning bush, he'll still bring fire before Elijah, but he's not in that fire. Now you need to understand the still small voice. And one day he's not going to come through a still small voice. He told Paul, for this reason have I revealed myself to you, that you might be a witness of those things I have showed you, and in the things of which I shall appear to you. In the things in which I will appear. In the thing. That means he can appear through this thing here. What do you mean? Are you belittling God? No, I'm not belittling God. If he was a rock once he was just a rock. In fact, when you read scripture, Moses, they tell Moses, smite thee. It wasn't a rock. It wasn't some other rock. It was the same rock. Are you following what I'm saying? If at one point it was a cloud. If at one point it was a flame of fire. Are you following what I'm saying? He can appear through anything. At one point he's appearing like a lion. And then another day he's a lamb. Another day he's the son of a man. But to separate Jesus from the Christ, and to be able to know when Christ is moving. That's what I'm trying to talk about. Because without these consecrations, you will never understand the secret of God. I wish I had time. The secret of God. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. It's not something that is hidden, but it is something that can only be understood by this process. Job speaks about that secret. In Job chapter 29 verses 2. And I'm going to read that because of time and stop, because I want to pray for some people. He says, oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. When the secret of God was upon that man, the Bible says he was under preservation. The candle of the Lord was shining on his head. That means that the star, his star was deeply shining or brightly shining. The light of God lit his path in his darkness. In verses 5, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, he says in that time he used to wash his steps with butter, and the rock poured him oil of rivers. And remember, the churning of milk brings butter. And he washes his steps, which is ministry, with butter. His ministry is of churned milk. Not just freshly. You understand what I'm saying? It's churned, it's dealt with. God has consecrated it to a certain point, and now God, because he's washing his steps, his ministry, with that butter, the oil, the rock, who is that? Jesus, poured him out rivers of oil. Verses 7, when I was out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the streets, when the young men saw me, they hid themselves. That means there was something on Job, that when people saw him, they felt less. Because there was a presence of God. The secret of God was upon him. He was a man God had dealt with. He continues to say, which verse are we? Uh-huh. 8. Yeah. The young men saw me and hid themselves. And the aged, the Bible says, arose and stood up. That means when an old man saw Job, he stood up. Because there was something in his life that would not let a man stand. Somebody shout hallelujah. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. That means anybody who was about to leave the earth, when they saw Job, they released the mantle on him. They released a blessing on him. They said, this is the preservation of the next generation. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout glory to God. Uh-huh. Let's continue. Which verse? Uh-huh. I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. You remember how God boasts over him? Have you considered my servant Moses? Job. You remember that time? So he says, I clothed righteousness. It was like a girdle. It was over me. It was like a mantle. It was all over me. Uh-huh. Which verse are we now? 14. Uh-huh. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I broke the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. My glory, he says, was fresh in me. My bow was renewed in my hand. And to me men gave ear and waited and kept silent at my counsel. After my words, nobody could speak. My speech dropped upon them, and they waited for me as for the rain. They opened their mouths wide as for the latter rain. And if I laughed on them, they believed it not. And the light of my countenance they cast not down. Why? Because there was something on that man. Ho, ho, ho. In Paul in Colossians, he says, he calls it stirring in your hearers the most holy emotions, and that's persuading them. That is not taught in Bible school. That is God with you. And then he starts to deal with you. He starts to deal with you. Now this is how I want to finish. And the Lord said what I'm going to say today. That now more than ever before, I'm consecrating a generation for the next move on the earth. These ones are dealt with more than I have ever dealt with any generation. There are people I'm talking about, but there are also people I'm talking to. Because they know it in their spirits. They feel that something is out there. I don't know whether there's somebody in this room who says, every time I go to bed, I feel there is something in there. I don't know its name. I might not be able to define it, but I feel it's bigger than I have ever seen. If you're that person, shout, it's me. That's the thing I have come to instruct today. That's the thing I ask to speak an impartation over this evening. That's the thing, by God's grace, I want to quicken in understanding through prayer, because there are certain things you might not be taught. There are things that can only be given to you by impartation. Paul says, of these things I have in a figure transferred to Apollos. Not in speech, in a figure transferred to Apollos. There are things we can transfer by understanding, but there are also things we can transfer by prayer. There's somebody in this room. The realm of the Spirit is going to open up to you with such an understanding like you have never imagined before. My time is up, so I think I have, just give me a few minutes just to finish this. What you have been opening is going to open up to you before you open it. You're going to connect to something in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, please touch those people right this very moment. I'm not going to lay a hand on anybody, because the Spirit present in this room can do it. Just open your mouth and start to speak. There are apostolic graces in this room. The power of God is coming upon you right now, even as I speak. Power of the Holy Ghost. God, where are the voices you have raised for the last time? Power of the Holy Ghost. There are about 17 prophetic voices in this room. And if you are that prophet that God has consecrated for the message of the end times, wherever you are, I ask the Holy Spirit to prove it to you right now. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, touch that person. I have about 2 minutes here. Come on, let's pray. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. Lord, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Yeah. Revival is on this continent. Holy Spirit, consecrate a young man in Westbrook today. And I love you. I see distinctive teachers. God, anoint somebody for the next level of teaching ministry in the world in the name of Jesus. One more time. Sing, I will serve you. I will serve you. Roko shabala de gazo bala de goza. Sing, I will serve you. Lord, my rock. Forever. Holy Spirit, we bless you. If you're sick in your body, If you're sick in your body, start to receive healing now. Now, diabetes is healing. Somebody came with wounds in your throat, they are living. Somebody came with a swelling, it's living. Somebody came with a deaf ear, it's opening now. Somebody came with a sinus, your nose has been blocked, it's clearing now, and you're never going to have sinuses again. Some lady in this room, actually I see another two of them in the overflow. You have fibroids, and they're living right this very second. Heart disease is living this very second. If you have anybody near you that came with a clutch, that came with a wheelchair, I dare you to tell them to start walking. They're going to start walking right now. Anybody with a clutch, anybody with a armband, or you've tied something in your back, a corset, remove it and check your body. Check your back, check your bones. Healing takes place now. In Jesus' name. If you have been healed as I was praying, I want you to wave your hand wherever you are. I'm not going to call you. Just wave and say, I've been healed. Something has left me. Sickness has left me. I want the cameras to look. Just wave like this. If you came with a sickness and it has left, wave like this. Wave like this. Wave. If you came with any sickness and it has left, wave. Somebody clap for Jesus. Wave. Praise God. Listen. The pastor has allowed me to call out some of you. If you know you have had an unbelievable miracle, run here. I'm just going to give you a few minutes to testify. Run here. If you know you've had something left, a swelling, left your ears open, your eye can see, anything that you came with, somebody came with a pain in your stomach, you came with a swelling in your stomach, your back or something has healed. Come, I'm just going to give opportunity to just a few of you. Come quickly, run. Run quickly. I just want to hear a testimony. A swelling, a growth, an abnormal thing. I just want to hear a testimony. Quickly run. Hurry. Hurry. Where are you? I saw the hands. Come. Quickly, 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 quickly. I just want to hear a few of you. Lord, my rock. Come. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. Come quickly. Come quickly. I just want to hear a few of you. You listen, you tell me. Quickly, come quickly. Just a few of you. I just want to hear. If you have something remarkable, swelling left you, somebody's kidneys have gotten healed right now. No, you hear, you tell me. The ushers can help me because of time. I feel people are getting healed. Swellings are disappearing. If you have anybody on a clutch, just tell them to walk. Quickly. You can hear them and then tell me. Ears are opening. You can hear them and then tell me. Where was it? How long? Sorry? It has gone. Praise God. Who is that next one? Praise God. Let me see that one. Oh, come. I want them to see what God has done. Come. Come quickly, come. Forever all my days. Hallelujah, God. Look at this. What has God done for you? And you're not, when your neck was in pain. Now you can move your neck. The pain has gone. Somebody shout hallelujah! Hallelujah! Quickly. No, you don't need this. This is for Wafbeck. Quickly. A lamp on the left ear. How long has it been? 3 years. 3 days.
It has gone. It has disappeared. Somebody clap for Jesus. Yes.
Pain on the left side gone.
How long?
For 5 months now.
Somebody clap for Jesus. A few more, a few more. Yes.
For over 5 months now, I've been having chest pain and back pain.
It's healed.
It's gone. Like.
Let me give three more, three more, three more, three more, three more. Three more. Huh?
While we were praying, I saw a
bad
drop from
him. Where did it fall? The Bible says he has hidden some from the prudent and revealed them to the babes. Let me pray for that young woman. She saw a fire falling from what? May God use you. May God use you, woman. You're not going to be ordinary. Can I give two more? Only two?
I've had sinuses for all my life. I've breathed elbows in my mouth. But right now, I can breathe clearly. I don't have chest pain.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was it has disappeared back. Somebody shout hallelujah. Quickly, quickly. Yeah, no. I want to hear from them. Yes.
Praise the Lord. I was diagnosed for angina, chest pain. I've been battling with my cholesterol levels for some time. And as I prayed, I want you one chest pain was gone.
Hallelujah. Who feels the fibroids has disappeared? There is a lady. What has happened? I feel, yes, what has happened?
I came in with fibroids.
Speak loud.
As I came in, I have fibroids on my abdomen, like,
yeah.
Abdomen. And I came in with a pain, now it's
Do you feel it anymore? Do you feel the fibroid anymore? It's not there. Somebody give the Lord a mic of praise. Yeah. We can sleep here. I want to give opportunity to other people, but let us write these testimonies. We can write them. Do you want to give one more? Okay, let's give one more, please.
I felt like there was an outfall.
You had a problem with your eyes? But you saw something fly out?
Yes.
No, God has given you vision. Somebody give the Lord a moment. Let me finish. And I hope we will make an altar call this evening, because I feel there are people who are not born again and they need to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you're that person, whether in this room or the overflow, and you say, today I want that Christ you're talking about, put up your hand right now and we pray for you. If you say, today I want to be born again, you're in this room or in the overflow. If there are any people in the overflow, I want to hear some people clapping from the overflow. If somebody has put up their hand. Has anybody put up their hand in the overflow? Okay. In the building, let me see the hands. Put up your hand if you want to receive Jesus. What do we do with them, Pastor? Do we call them? Let them come. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come and receive Him now. Come. If you said, today I want Jesus, I want to be born again, come and stand here. I will serve you all my days. I will serve you, Lord, my shield. I will serve you, Lord, my rock, forever. Put up your hands. God is delivering not only you, but your whole household. I see chains leaving your hands and your feet.
Your life will never be the same again.
The power of God is here. Ashes. The power of God is here. Marago zabala de gazuga tala para de gazubara la husha la 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 la. Forever all my days. Hallelujah, God. Can somebody thank God for this harvest? If Jesus was to return last week, all this would be in hell. All this would be in hell. Maybe I came for somebody here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, you're going to serve God. Somebody has gone to the next level. I'm going to hand this over to the pastor to lead these people in salvation. There's only one secret. After you're saved, keep coming to church. God bless you.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.